and some engineering type back in the back. Give us all the house lights, if you would, in case we have to do some reading tonight. And oh, there you go. Just crash the ambiance. But now you can see and now you can read. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to take a look at a lot of scripture tonight. Andrew, do you feel that you're quick enough to stay with me tonight? All right. Got to have fleet hands, son. So we're going to go through a lot of the book of Proverbs tonight. Praise God. Why don't you be seated, and we're going to just talk about this. There's a lot of scripture to be discussed tonight. We won't take a passage for a text per se, but we're continuing a study in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to work on that some more tonight. Tonight we're going to look at the contrast between following after the wisdom of God and resisting reproof and instruction and the wisdom of God. And so in one segment, we'll be looking at the blessings that come from wisdom. And then we'll be looking at what the writer of Proverbs offers us in regard to a fool, because it gives you the contrast or the counterpoint. You find out what wisdom looks like in real time, and you find out what a fool looks like in real time. And you hold that up against your life, and you begin to look at it in an analytical or critical sense, and it helps you to know whether or not you're being foolish or wise. Praise God. And I want to know that. I want to know if my behavior is wise or if it's foolish. Because the trouble with being a fool, though, is that biblically fools dig their heels in and they're almost immune to counsel or to advice. And that's a problem for you tonight. So if you find yourself bowing up or getting angry or a little bit tense tonight, it's just almost a slam dunk that you're a USDA certified fool. We looked at Solomon's prayer. He prayed for wisdom. And in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, we saw that by wisdom you could build your house, your personal house, your family, and a house of God by wisdom. And you can establish that house by understanding, and you can fill it full of precious things by knowledge. Now, those are things that we want and that we want to seek after as a church and as individuals and as a family, a household that wants to be of use to the kingdom of God. We began to explore wisdom, and we found out that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then we wanted to know, well, what's the fear of the Lord? And the Word of God told us that to hate evil is the fear of the Lord. And so we analyzed it biblically, and we found out that you can define these things in a very concrete way. So then wisdom is the applying of my knowledge of evil that I get from the Word of God. I understand what evil is from the Word of God. I develop an attitude about it, a separation from it. I build a life that is insulated as much as possible against evil. The Bible says that's wisdom. That's wisdom for a man, for his house, for a church family, for your house, for my house. That's the exercise of wisdom, the identification and the avoidance of evil. That is, the scripture said, the beginning of wisdom. That's not all of wisdom, but that's just the beginning. And we live in a world and in a culture that's long since lost the capacity to differentiate between good and evil. And so it's stepping off in the same stump holes all the time. And lives are being ruined and potentials being wasted. And marriages are falling apart and homes are coming apart at the seams. And churches aren't doing what they were destined and called to do by the Word of God. And it begins with simply an identification of evil and an avoidance of things that are evil. Somebody shout amen. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at certain qualities and blessings and characteristics and behaviors that are associated with the practice of wisdom. Things that you can look at and hold up against your life and have an understanding biblically. This is where it's not just abstract. It's not just an idea out in the air somewhere, but rather it's real-time, nuts and bolts, concrete ideas that you can use in your everyday life. We're going to do the same with foolishness, qualities and characteristics and behaviors that are associated with the practice of foolishness. And the fool in the Proverbs is one of the primary discussions. The Proverbs has more to say about fools than almost anything else. And the fool is set up as a counterpoint or as the antithesis for wisdom so that you can have a clear view and vision of what the difference is. And we can look at our lives and see if we've been practicing wisdom or foolishness. Now, let me say this, that this discussion is pertinent to you relative to how long you've been practicing the tenets of wisdom in the Word of God. If you've only begun to practice the tenets of wisdom in the Word of God, well, perhaps there's a lot in your life that hasn't changed yet. And you understand that. Not everybody started at the same place. And some people start having been raised in church. And some folks have solid homes. And some folks are street urchins. And they don't have anybody that's taught them. And now it's in their own hands. And they've begun to apply the principles of the Word of God and wisdom. And good things are beginning to happen. But you're not on the same level with some others, and we understand that. So Paul said we don't compare one another. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not wisdom. It's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves because we don't all come from the same place and we don't all have the same capacity. So this is not about how you stack up by your neighbor. This is about how you stack up with the Word of God. So keep your nose out of your neighbor's business and in your own business. And let's see, are we fools here tonight, or do we have some modicum of wisdom? This business of wisdom or foolishness is relative to what condition you were in when you started. Because we're going to talk about the blessings of God in some regard tonight. And you may look at someone and say, well, I don't see the manifestation of the blessings of God in their life, but you don't know where they started. And so it has to do with where you started, and it has to do with how close you are, the proximity to the last disaster in your life. You know, if the scripture is clear that a righteous man will fall seven times, and the good news is that you get up, and that God's a good God about getting people up and getting us back together again. But if you just had a major catastrophe in your life and you're just getting it back together, well, it may be that you don't show all of the things that we're going to go through tonight. So don't despair, and understand that this is relative to each individual's life and circumstance. I would also say, though, that it has to do with how consistent you are in the application of the principle of God. Because if you're just a Sunday go to meeting apostolic, and you're kind of temperate in your approach to the things of God, and you don't really take all this very seriously, well, you're not going to see the fruit of the Word of God in your life. You've got to do this every day. You've got to do it radically and with a great deal of intensity to see the fruit of it in your experience. Praise God. Well, that was interesting too. Okay. I'm not in this, as we talk about blessings and manifestations of the impact of foolishness or wisdom tonight, we're talking about this earthly journey. We're talking about what's happening in your life and relationships and in your ministry and in your family right now. We're not talking about heaven, because heaven's another discussion altogether. Everybody gets a penny a day. It doesn't matter where you started. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is if you're right when the trump sounds or when you go, everybody gets a penny. It's not a literal penny. That's just the parable. And if you don't understand it, I don't have time to tell you all about it tonight. But read the parable about the laborers in the vineyard, and they all get a penny a day. The ones that start early and work all day, and the ones that work for 1 hour, they all get the same paycheck. So now, while I'm on this, and I'm qualifying you to death, but let me qualify one more thing. It is epidemic in Christianity, quasi, pseudo, non-biblical Christianity, that people look at the trouble in their life, all the trouble in their life, and they say, this trouble's in my life because I'm such a good Christian, the devil is after me. I'm having all these problems in my life because the devil is on my trail, because I'm about to have revival. And let me caution you about rationalizing dysfunction in your life. When you don't work hard and you don't work regularly, you're going to always be beset by financial problems. If you spend more than you make, you will always be beset by financial problems. Has nothing to do with the devil. The devil can go to the Bahamas, as far as you're concerned. He doesn't have to come to work for you, because you're shooting yourself in the foot every day. And if you spiritualize that and rationalize that and say, oh, it's the devil because I'm such a hardy saint of God, you're lying to yourself. There are basic rudimentary principles in life, and if you transgress those principles, you will have trouble all through relationships. You'll have trouble in your home. You'll have financial troubles, and God can't bail you out if you're not living by the principles of the Word of God. And with all of those troubles comes stress. And stress works on your relationships, and stress kills your joy, and stress is an impact against everything you try to do in the kingdom of God. Okay, I know that that's not real romantic and exciting and all, but don't be blaming the devil for things you're doing to yourself. Okay, as long as we're qualified. All right, Andrew, you ready? Proverbs 1:4. Wisdom gives subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Wisdom will bring you up and cause you to live at a higher level than you are really qualified to live at. Give you things that you don't really have any natural means of acquiring. So the pursuit of wisdom is something we all want. Because I want to be better. I need to be better in everything that I do in life. 1:9, Andrew, for they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. It just simply means that wisdom is going to be an ornamentation for you. You're going to look better. You're going to live better. Life is going to be better. You're going to have wisdom as an ornamentation on your life. And everybody's going to see it. You're not going to have to go around telling people how wise you are. You won't have to go around telling people that you are a prophet. Hello, I'm Prophet Robinson here. Friend, if you're a prophet, somebody will know. You don't have to advertise. You don't have to have a tag or a sign on your door. And if you're wise, everybody's going to know. And the first people that are going to know are the people that live with you. It'll be an ornamentation. Praise God. You can't be one thing at the house of God and something else at home and call it wise. Because you blew your cover with the people that know you best. 1:23. Wisdom is personified and it's speaking and it says, turn at my reproof and behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you and I'll make known my words unto you. As you pursue wisdom and as wisdom is active in your life, you're going to have a dynamic spiritual experience and you're going to have a dynamic experience in the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be open to you because of the wisdom that God imparts. 1:33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, wisdom is speaking again, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. The wisdom that God's going to give you is going to still the fear that has beset your life. If you're still dealing with fear in your life, you haven't come to the knowledge of the wisdom of God. I'm just telling you, fear is bondage. And fear is not of God. And fear is the antithesis of faith. And there's no place for that kind of fear in the life of a saint of God. And wisdom will root that out of your mind and out of your spirit. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, I'm already talking about the things that are consistent with wisdom. And you need to be keeping a tally in your life. If I were you, I'd be taking notes right now. I'd have one column that says wisdom and one column that says a fool. Am I a fool? Am I wise? And I'd start seeing how I stacked up at the end of the ledger. Praise God. 2 and 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. When wisdom comes to your life and comes to your house, you just automatically begin to observe and to practice discretion. Discretion rules your mouth. Discretion rules your relationships. You don't just open your mouth and blurt out everything you know. You don't speak unadvisedly with your lips. You're not ever found in a gossip session, and you're never cutting anybody down gratuitously. But if you're speaking at all, it's all edifying, and that's what discretion is. It's lifting other people up, and it's the wise use of language and behavior. Praise God. I just want you to use this as a gauge and as symptoms or behaviors or characteristics that are associated with wisdom. 2 and 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things. Deliverance from the evil man. This is the generic evil man. Brother Wilson would call this a representative person. This evil man, whatever man it is, that's going to try to get you to go off into another direction. Now listen, children, when the evil man comes, he's going to be the best looking guy you ever saw. When the evil man comes, he's going to come and he's going to be everything your dream boat was supposed to be. But the first thing out of his mouth, he's going to begin to try to get you to walk away from the things of God and the standards of God. He's going to begin to undermine your parental authority. He's going to begin to undermine the word of God and the authority of the house of God in your life. And at that moment, you just need to back off and cry, evil! And know that wisdom and discretion will keep you, the Bible says, from the evil man. I want you to throw up your hands right now and just say, God, keep me from the evil man. Now, you know I'm just playing with you, but some of you did. Now, all the parents in the house ought to be shouting amen about this. Praise God. Well, we're going to get to the strange woman here in a moment, but the evil man and the strange woman. You know, that's what happened to Solomon. The Bible said he had a lot of wisdom, but he loved many strange women. That just gives you a lot of time to pause and wonder, like, how were they strange? But it just meant women that were not like God or the word of God. And he wound up building temples and memorials to the gods of all these strange women. So discretion or wisdom will keep you from the evil man. So if you are off making rendezvous with the evil man, you're not being wise. If you're off talking on the phone with the evil man that's undermining mom and dad and undermining pastor and undermining the word of God, then you're not wise. You're a fool. See how easy this is? And if you want to be a fool and you want to stay a fool, well, it's America. You can be anything you want. You know, but it's not a good prospect for your future and your happiness and all of that. Oh, well, here it is, fellas. The same wisdom that's speaking 2 and 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Oh, you're so handsome. What big muscles you have. It thrills me to see you today, because you're such a hunk of man, hunk of man. You know, I don't know what she's going to say to you, but if she's saying anything to get you off into a dark corner without supervision or away from mom and dad or out of the church, she's a strange woman. And at that point, you need to throw up your head and say, strange woman. Or you can just cry evil if you like. Would you lift your hands, young men, and say, God, keep me from the strange woman. Yeah, you want to do that, fellas. The Bible said a strange woman is a deep pit. And though that they that go therein never return. Do you know that early immoral experiences can take you somewhere spiritually that you can't recover from? You can come back to the house of God and it's like a boat anchor around your victory and your joy. And some people never recover from those early immoral experiences. Why don't you learn early to exercise wisdom and practice discretion? You think I'm joking about this tonight, but I'm not. I want to see you make your way, navigate your way through adolescence and come out without scars and stand in your early 20s ready to take on the world and relationships without a lot of baggage that's going to corrupt what you could be in the fulfillment or the actualization of your potential. Praise God. Just trying to save you some sleepless nights. Deliver me from the strange woman. By the way, grown man and grown lady, it applies for you too.
Well, my husband won't talk to me, and this gentleman is so, he understands my heart.
You started having coffee with the evil man, or you've started spending time over the fence with the evil man. Well, there's nothing good going to come of that. That's not discretion. That's not wisdom. You're a fool, lady. And on the job, gentlemen, well, my wife doesn't understand me. You big crybaby. I got a whole lot more compassion for these women than I do for you. Don't even come to me. My wife doesn't understand me. My wife doesn't meet my needs. My wife doesn't tell me how wonderful I am. I've got to go looking somewhere else for all that. You better beware, grown man, of the strange woman, because the same caveat is in force for you and in spades as it is for these young men. And the mistake you're making is far more grievous because you know better. It's not your first trip to the rodeo. 2:20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. It's a proactive thing. You have to make an active pursuit of wisdom. And if you are actively walking in wisdom, then you walk in the way of good men. And you keep the paths of righteousness. I'll let you young ladies use that scripture. God, lead me in the paths of good men. Help me to find a good man. My God, there's some good men out there. Listen to me. There's a man out there that'll applaud you when you want to obey your parents. There's a man out there that'll say yes when you want to live for God. There's a man out there that'll lift you up and want a virtuous woman. He's out there somewhere. If you'll wait on him, don't go chasing after these other guys, the evil man. Praise God. 3:2, Andrew. Wisdom. For length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. We live in a very troubled world, a world that is way over medicated because they can't find any peace. But the Bible says, everybody say the Bible says. The Bible says that by wisdom you can have peace in your life. You can have long life and peace. 3:4, so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You can walk with favor with people and with God. You don't have to be fighting with the neighbors and fighting on the job and fighting with your relatives. But if you walk by wisdom, you can have good favor with people. Praise God. Let me just offer you something. If you've got conflict going on in every relationship in your life on an alternating basis, you're not walking in wisdom. If you're going to come to me and start telling me about all these people around you with all these problems, let me suggest to you that if you're having a multitude of relationship problems, it's not in all the people around you. Wisdom will give you favor with God and man. 3:8. It'll be health to your navel, and I'm not quite sure how to take that. And marrow to your bones. I think it's just talking about you'll have physical health when you walk in wisdom. Well, it's a no-brainer. You don't destroy your liver. You don't destroy your lungs. You're not living like the devil. You're not out bar hopping to 2 o'clock in the morning. And so, it's health to your body, to your natural body. 3:10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, you know how I feel about the prosperity gospel of the world. I believe that it's an Americanization or a capitalization of the gospel, a materialization of the gospel. They're taking it and using it and perverting it for something that it never was intended to be. The gospel was never intended to be a name it and claim it system by which you got a Cadillac and a bigger house. Because God may call you to be a Paul, and you're going to get where you're going by shipwreck. And God may call you to be a John the Baptist, and you might get your head cut off. But typically, the Word of God says that your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. Can I ask, is there anybody in this house that's been blessed since you've been living for God and applying the standards and the principles of the Word of God? Is there anybody in the house that can see the blessing of God's provision in your life? Well, praise God. See, I believe that that's true. In a generic sense, I believe that that's true, that God does bless his people, and that there are good things that come simply by following after the principles of the Word of God. Verse 3:13, everybody say, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Now, in the NIV, it says, blessed is the man, but Scofield and the King James both say, happy is the man. Can I suggest to you that the Word of God being fulfilled in your life and the pursuit of wisdom in your life will produce happiness in your life? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, I'm just reading from the Word now. I'm just reading from the Word. And if you're never, ever happy and you say you're living for God, I got a word for you tonight. You're falling short of what the Word of God has offered you. I want to suggest to you that you get up close to the book and you find out where it is that you're not applying the principles. Because the Word of God said there is happiness to be had. Praise. Does anybody believe that? Well, let me ask this. Is there anybody in the house that's happy? Oh, I mean, are you really? Are you just clapping and hooting and hollering, but you're fighting like cats and dogs at home, fussing on the job and cussing, kicking the dog? That's not happy. If it's happy, you got a twisted sort of definition of happy. That's not happy. But there is, the Constitution or the Founding Fathers gave you the right to the pursuit of happiness, but the Bible says you can actually find it. You can actually have it. Verse 16, chapter 3, 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Good things come to you when you practice wisdom. 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. Again, it's a peaceful life and a happy life when you live by the tenets of the wisdom of the Word of God. Verse 18, she's a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy. Again, there it is, that word. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. Are you really happy? Are you really achieving your dreams? And are you really walking in a level of quality of life? You wake up in the morning and you're just glad to be alive in the kingdom of God. Is there anybody in the house that you're feeling? Brother Bart, are you feeling like that? Are you happy? You don't want to trade your wife in on a new model. You don't want to see about getting something done about your kids. No, you're a happy man. God's been good to you. You think this is probably accurate, right? You may be flirting with wisdom. Those are the characteristics and qualities that are associated with biblical wisdom. How'd you feel when you got up this morning, besides a little groggy? Felt good? No dark clouds hanging over your life? No? How about, now I'm going to get real personal now. Did y'all scream and holler and rage and throw things? You didn't do that? Not this morning. Yeah, that's one of those loser situations. Like, did you quit beating your wife? But happy's not too big of a concept to actually get your arms around. All right, we have one happy man in the house, at least. Praise God. So, happy is within reach. Chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. The 22, so shall they be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. 23, thou shalt walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When you walk with wisdom, you don't have to walk up three and back two. You don't have to continually be winning and losing. You don't have to stumble through your life in the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. You don't have to be on the verge of backsliding. You don't have to be at the brink of backsliding. God, deliver me from conferences where we go and the whole conference is about, oh, you were just hanging on by your fingernails. You were just about to lose it all, but you made it to this conference, and now you're going to be all right because you, my God, if we don't have that in this local assembly, victory and anointing and overcoming power, then we need to close the doors and go learn how to do something else. But you ought to have victory every day of your life if you're walking in wisdom. You ought to have some anointing on your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's not about when you're brand new in the kingdom, you may stumble your way into the kingdom. And when you're just an adolescent, you may stumble your way. But I'm just telling you, there's a time and a place for you to stand up as a full-blown apostolic, an anointed adult in the kingdom of God. And it's not about if I can make it today. It's about how much trouble can I cause for the devil today? How much territory can I take from the other side today? How many can I win to the kingdom of God today? It ought not be a question of stumbling around and trying to understand whether or not I'm going to stay married or whether or not I'm going to lose my anointing. Well, I mean, at least that's what the scripture says. You walk safely and your foot shall not stumble. 24, when you lie down, you won't be afraid. And you'll lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Who has sweet sleep? Anybody having sweet sleep? I think it's they tell me it's a clean conscience, a good conscience. It may be just men because they can compartmentalize so well. But the scripture says that if you're walking in wisdom, you can have sweet sleep. Praise God. Maybe not enough sleep, but what you get is sweet. 4 and 8, exalt her, and she'll promote you. She'll bring you to honor when you do embrace her. Anybody here got a promotion that you knew you weren't qualified for? Yeah, it happens, and it happens by God. Promotion doesn't come from the north or the south. Promotion comes from God. Praise God. And so we do have some people that are flirting with wisdom in the house. Verse 9 in chapter 4, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of their life shall be many. Again, the word of God promises you longevity if you live by wisdom. Verse 12, when you go, your steps will not be straightened, and when you run, you will not stumble. Again, that confidence and that security in the kingdom. Chapter 6, verse 22, when you go, wisdom, will lead you, and when you sleep, it'll keep you, and when you wake, it'll talk with you. It never leaves you. It's always with you. It's the manifestation of God in your life. 6 and 23, the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Chapter 8 and verse 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Again, wisdom promises that you'll be blessed in the natural. 8 and 34, blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I don't want to keep you all night. Let's talk about the fools a little bit. But there are blessings involved in walking in wisdom. And good things come to you when you seek wisdom. Now, remember when we were talking about how she was personified in the book of Proverbs, she walks and cries out in the concourse, in the chief concourse, and in the gates, and she's lifting up her voice, and you can go out to her, and you can sit at her feet, and you can engage her, and you can learn of her. Praise God. So we can obtain wisdom by an active pursuit of the Word of God. To understand, identify evil, and to shun evil is the beginning of wisdom. Now, in regard to fools, fools are the antithesis of wisdom. So we want to hold that up just a little bit so you can take a look at yourself. And when you leave tonight, say, well, good, I'm not a fool. I got good things going on in my life. Okay, chapter 10, verse 23. How you doing, Andrew? You doing all right? This is kind of tough. I know there's a little time lapse. 10:23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief or to be in evil conduct. Now, you got to get this right. If you are involved in our youth group and there's somebody that wants to go off the reservation and do things out from the canopy of mom and dad and pastor and church, then you just need to get under their nose and say, look, fool, because that's what a fool is. A fool thinks it's sport to do mischief. To slip around behind the backs of people in authority, or to scuttle around the rules and get out in an area where nobody's watching so we can do, oh, it's so exciting to get out here where nobody's watching. But the Bible said that's a fool. A fool thinks it's fun, thinks it's sport to do mischief. But a man of understanding has wisdom. He contrasts this with understanding and wisdom. Chapter 11, verse 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. This is in a list of discussions about a fool. If you trouble your own house, you will inherit the wind. What does that mean? That means that if you behave in a foolish way in your own home, that you will wind up at the end of life with an empty sack. You will inherit nothing at all. That simply means that if you come in and you fuss at the kids and you fuss at the wife and you kick the dog and it's all animosity and you're not satisfied and nothing's good enough for you and you're always on an angry rampage, well, the Bible says you're a fool and you're going to inherit the wind. Just emptiness. Because you know what's going to happen? Nobody around you is going to love you. Nobody's going to want to see you coming. Nobody's going to be glad. I'll just tell you, I've lived long enough to hear children say at the death of their dad, I'm glad he's gone. And all there was left to say about that was amen. He did that all by himself. And the word of God is true. A fool will inherit the wind. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. One of the clearest indications of a fool, one of the quickest ways to see that you are behaving in a foolish way is if you are so adamantly resistant to counsel. You can't hear advice because your way is right. You know you have such confidence, but nobody that loves you agrees with you. And the word of God, and maybe the man of God, and maybe the house of God is trying to sell you on a different idea. But you won't hear it. Well, the word of God said that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But you're wise if you hearken to counsel. 12 and 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. That means that a fool pops his cork real quick. He gets angry really quick. But a prudent man or a discreet man covers shame. Verse 20, verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Quick to speak, slow to hear, quick to wrath, just the reverse of what the scripture would encourage us to be. Chapter 13, verse 16. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Really quick to blow his stack. Really quick to fuss at everybody. Really quick to tell you exactly what he knows and why he knows it, and it's got to be his way. And the Bible says that that's foolish, but discretion is prudent, and it waits, and it's slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. Chapter 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can tell a lot about your wisdom level and how foolish you are by who you hang with. If you hang around with backsliders and people that are peripheral to the church, Bible's going to tell you that that's foolishness. But if you hang around with people that are exercising wisdom and they're as close to the altar as they can get and they're plugged into the house of God and they're doing everything they can to draw close to God, the Word of God says that's wise, and you by association are counted to be wise. Okay, so if you hang, you know, you can get credit for association in either direction. If you hang with wise people, you get credit for being wise. If you hang out with fools, God's going to lump you in together with them. Birds of a feather flock together. Praise God. Right, is this okay? You all right? We're about done. We're about to quit here. Chapter 14 and verse 16. A wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. My word, have you ever seen a fool? They are so sure that they're right. They are confident without any basis for confidence. They are cocky with no basis for cockiness. Just because they are who they are, they think they get bonus points and that they are of some value. But the scripture is clear that a wise man fears and departs from evil. 15 and 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. You need to hear it, kids. Anybody that wants to go off and do things that are against parental instructions, they're a fool. And you just need to stay squeaky clean in regard to all that. 15 and 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on foolishness. 17 and 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. I told Monia one time Sunday night to quit chewing gum. She got up from where she was. She went and spit it out. Threw it in the trash can. But that was just an object lesson. But she responded to the reproof. But the Bible says a wise man will take a reproof. You can gauge how wise you are by the way you respond to correction. If you get corrected and you bow up and you get upset and you get an attitude, you're a fool. But if you say, man, I needed that. That's good for me. That'll make me a better man or a better woman. The Bible says you're wise. See, you can take your pulse and find out who and what you are by the criteria of the Word of God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, how are you doing? Are you a real fool, or are you pretty wise, or what? Brother Jerry, it'd be sad to be past the half century mark and find out you have been a fool all your life. But the mercies of God are so wonderful, because the implication is clear. You don't have to stay a fool. You can go to God's classroom on a regular basis and learn how to change your ways. Praise God. Chapter 17 and verse 16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? The implication there is, why should God give blessings to a fool? Because he's not going to use it to gain wisdom. God's not going to help him. Chapter 17 and verse 25. A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Chapter 17 and 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. You know, if you're not doing really well on the test this evening and you're really logging up some points on being a fool, if you'll just keep your mouth closed, nobody will know. They'll even ascribe some modicum of wisdom to you. If you just stand there, not whistle like that. You just stand there and keep your trap shut, people will think, well, this person's probably kind of wise. Or at least that's what the Bible says. Even a fool, if he holds his peace, is counted wise. 18 and 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. He just wants to actualize all that his heart feels. He wants to run and go and experience and taste and break every rule and seek every adventure. A wise man has delight in understanding. 18 and 6, we're just about done. Why don't you stand together and give you some hope of including. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool is quick to call for judgment for somebody else. Why don't you make your way on down to the altar here? Chapter 18 and verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. 19 and 1, better is the poor that walketh in integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. 19 and 2, also the soul that be without knowledge, it's not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. 19 and 13, a foolish son is calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. 19 and 29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. It's amazing how much the Word of God has to say about a fool. And he's doing it so that you can set up a counterpoint and a contrast so you can gauge your own life. I want us to, tonight as a church family, I want us to pray for wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Would you do that right now? If you're standing with your family, if you're not, adopt somebody around you. If you see somebody standing by themselves, say, come stand with me. Let's pray for wisdom together. Come on. All over the altar, let's pray. Mighty God, grant us wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Help us, Lord, to walk in your wisdom, not to walk as a foolish man or a woman. Help us, God, to manifest your word in everything that we do. God, deliver us from our own ways. God, deliver us from this world and cause us to walk by your wisdom. I pray you do it in the name above every name. Praise God. Press on into that. If you're praying with your family, lay your hands on them and pray God's anointing and blessing on them. Before we go, we'll lay hands on somebody by you, pray anointing and blessing and giftedness.